for all we see of the true nature of existence is, shall we say, no more than bewildering and amusing shadows cast upon the inner wall of the cave by the unseen blinding light of absolute truth, from which we may or may not deduce some glimmer of veracity. And we, as troglodyte seekers of wisdom, can only lift our voices to the unseen and say humbly, "Go on, do deformed rabbit, it's my favourite." Vorbis stirred the ashes with his foot.
"No bones," he said.
The soldiers stood silently. The fluffy grey flakes collapsed and blew a little way in the dawn breeze.
"And the wrong sort of ash," said Vorbis.
The sergeant opened his mouth to say something.
"Be assured I know that of which I speak," said Vorbis.
He wandered over to the charred trapdoor and prodded it with his toe.
"We followed the tunnel," said the sergeant, in the tones of one who hopes against experience that sounding helpful will avert the wrath to come. "It comes out near the docks."
"But if you enter it from the docks, it does not come out here," Vorbis mused.
The smoking ashes seemed to hold an endless fascination for him. The sergeant's brow wrinkled.
"Understand," said Vorbis. "The Ephebians wouldn't build a way out that was a way in. The minds that devised the labyrinth would not work like that. There would be valves, sequences of trigger stones, perhaps, trips that trip only one way, wearing blades that come out of unexpected walls."
"Oh."
"Most intricate and devious, I have no doubt."
The sergeant ran a dry tongue over his lips. He could not read Vorbis like a book, because there had never been a book like Vorbis. But Vorbis had certain habits of thought that you learned after a while.
"You wish me to take the squad and follow it up from the docks?" he said hollowly.
"I was just about to suggest it," said Vorbis.
"Yes, Lord."
Vorbis patted the sergeant on the shoulder.
"But do not worry," he said cheerfully. "Om will protect the strong in faith."
"Yes, Lord."
"And the last man can bring me a full report. But first, they are not in the city?"
"We have searched it fully, Lord."
"And no one left by the gate?" "Then they left by sea."
"All the Ephebian war vessels are accounted for, Lord Vorbis."
"This bay is lousy with small boats."
"With nowhere to go but the open sea, sir."
Vorbis looked out at the Circle Sea. It filled the world from horizon to horizon. Beyond lay the smudge of the Stow Plains and the ragged line of the Ramtops, all the way to the towering peaks that the heretics called the Hub, but which was, he knew, the Pole, visible around the curve of the world only because of the way light bent in atmosphere, just as it did in water. And he saw a smudge of white curling over the distant ocean. Vorbis had very good eyesight from a height. He picked up a handful of grey ash, which had once been Dykeri's principles of navigation, and let it drift through his fingers.
"Om has sent us a fair wind," he said. "Let us go down to the docks."
Hope waved optimistically in the waters of the sergeant's despair.
"You won't be wanting us to explore the tunnel, Lord?" he said.
"Oh, no. You can do that when we return."
Urn prodded at the copper globe with a piece of wire while the unnamed boat wallowed in the waves.
"Can't you beat it?" said Simony,
who was not up to speed on the difference between machines and people.
"It's a philosophical engine," said Urn. "Beating won't help."
"But you said machines could be our slaves," said Simony.
"Not the beating sort," said Urn. "The nozzles are bunged up with salt. When the water rushes out of the globe, it leaves the salt behind."
"Why?"
"I don't know. Water likes to travel light."
"We're becalmed. Can you do anything about it?"
"Yes, wait for it to cool down and then clean it out and put some more water in it."
Simony looked around distractedly.
"But we're still in sight of the coast."
"You might be," said Didactylos.
He was sitting in the middle of the boat with his hands crossed on the top of his walking stick, looking like an old man who doesn't often get taken out for an airing and is quite enjoying it.
"Don't worry. No one could see us out here," said Urn.
He prodded at the mechanism.
"Anyway, I'm a bit worried about the screw. It was invented to move water along."